Hello, and welcome to Why Wars Happened, a weekly history podcast where we talk about what led to war in history. I'm your host, Emily Ross, and today we're going to be discussing the things that led to the American Revolution, with a focus on Virginia this season.
Okay, so where we left off in the last episode was that the king had given the entire colony of Virginia to his buddies. The people fought them on this until the men agreed that they wouldn't claim all of Virginia anymore. They would just claim a little part of Virginia. The colonists wanted to buy that land back from those men, and they needed to raise taxes to do this. They also needed the king to approve this plan in order for it to work. The king did approve the plan, and he signed the document allowing the plan to go through. He even gave the Virginians extra things they asked for, like the promise to never give away Virginia to anyone else in the future, to always include Virginia in England's plans about Virginia, and he re-acknowledged the law that said Virginia can't have any taxes taken from it unless the people vote on and allow the tax. But before this document promising all those super cool things could be sent to Virginia, a crazy fiery rebellion broke out, and it wasn't a surprise to anyone when it happened. The rebellion had been bubbling and boiling for a long time. First, as we discussed in previous episodes, there were the Navigation Acts. Those were laws that were passed by England saying that the colonies couldn't buy or sell anything from anyone other than England. Eventually, England allowed the colonists to buy and sell from each other, but only if they paid a special tax to England. This obviously caused a lot of problems. People in Virginia had been trading with other countries for a really long time. A ton of immigrants in Virginia had family and businesses in other countries that they traded with. People tried to trade illegally, and some of them got away with it. The largest country that people illegally traded with was the Netherlands, where the Dutch were. Sadly, there were three wars between England and the Dutch, and therefore they were basically wars between the English colonies and the Dutch. Dutch ships would come in and blast Virginia with guns, cannons, fires, raids, and all sorts of other warlike things. They would also capture Virginia's ships headed to England. Before the wars began, the people in Virginia were living in extreme poverty. The only thing they could do was sell tobacco. They had tried a lot of other things, but could never compete with Europe, and the land in Virginia just wouldn't produce much of anything other than tobacco. So, it was tobacco that the Virginians had to buy and sell in order to make any money. Through three separate wars, each lasting for a few years, the people in Virginia couldn't trade with the Dutch. The Virginians were even poorer than before the wars. So, now you have these poor colonists, and they had to raise taxes in order to buy this land back from the king's friends. At least they had his permission to do it. Great! We did it! Yay! Except now that we got our way and those two guys agreed to leave and give up all the claims to Virginia, the people actually had to pay up. Keep in mind, the price of tobacco was so low that even the hardest working farmer in the colony could barely afford to live. Now they had to pay more taxes for land that was already part of the colony until the king decided to give it away to his friends. On top of that, there was still the problem of the forts and protective buildings along the rivers and edges of town. The people in Virginia had paid tons of money for these forts around the towns and the rivers, and they were literally crumbling apart. They were terribly made and completely useless at defending the towns from attack. Once again, complaints swirled around these issues. People felt that the government was squeezing them dry for nothing in return. Governor Berkeley said that the high taxes that the people had to pay in order to buy this land back from those two guys was so hated by the people that it made the people ripe for mutiny. Fortunately, people did have the ability to feed themselves, and that's quite remarkable because normally, in really hard times throughout history, people who were poor starved to death. But in Virginia, people grew their own food. Not enough to sell to other countries, but enough to feed themselves comfortably. So, back to some of the issues they were facing. The Navigation Acts made it so they could only sell to England. Some people broke the law, but most people weren't able to find ways of illegally getting things out of the colony. So the English ships came in, paid next to nothing for the tobacco because they could, and then they didn't even buy all the tobacco that farmers had to sell. The people in England didn't smoke as much tobacco as the Virginians grew, so the merchants didn't want to buy it all. and this is part of what made everybody really poor. On top of that, English ships coming in with clothes and other things that the colonists needed day to day would charge 2 to 3 times as much as they did before the Navigation Acts. I mean, they could, right? Who else were the colonists going to get their shirts and soaps from? Nobody. Even though the colonists complained to England and had suffered for almost 2 decades under the Navigation Acts, it wasn't what drove them to rebellion. In a previous episode, we talked about how the Assembly was taxing the people for far more than what was voted on. The Assembly themselves had been sending complaints for decades over to England, stating that taxing people without the people approving the tax by a vote was illegal and intolerable, and it wouldn't be allowed. Yet here they were, adding taxes to things that were not voted on by the people in Virginia. And the things that were voted on, like building a city around Jamestown and building protective forts around the rivers and edges of town to stop invaders, were being done in such a poor condition that the buildings often fell down before they were even completed. Or they were so badly built that nobody could live in them. There had been a war with the Dutch, and the Dutch had wiped the floor with Virginia's forts. These forts were useless. The buildings in Jamestown that were meant to turn it into a city were useless as well. But the people had paid for them with extremely high taxes. People also had to pay taxes that went towards public buildings like courthouses, jails, police, and other things needed to run a town. On top of that, as we discussed in a previous episode, the Assembly members would shut the doors to the Assembly, and in secret, they would decide how much money to tax the people. The people were furious. They were in a rage about it. They were absolutely convinced that taxes did nothing other than making Governor Berkeley's favorite people rich. The leader of the rebellion had called them, quote, vile juggling parasites. Remember also that Governor Berkeley controlled it all. He selected half of the Assembly right off the bat. He was allowed to do that. That was the Governor's Council. As for the other half of the Assembly, the half that was elected, he made sure that his police officers, whom he also chose, counted the votes the way he wanted them counted. Then, when the people he wanted elected were elected, he gave them lavish gifts of land, money, and privileges that regular members of society didn't get. So the council that he chose for the Assembly and the elected members he chose for the Assembly always voted on things the way Governor Berkeley wanted them to. But the Navigation Acts, the Assembly voting in secret, the crumbling buildings, the high taxes, the poverty, the complete lack of a real voice in their government, all of it still didn't lead anyone to rebellion. At least not the major one that was coming. There were 2 small rebellions in part of Virginia in 1674. One of them was in an area that was mostly populated by Dutch settlers. The intense dissatisfaction there with taxes and with the law stating they couldn't trade with their Dutch kinsmen anymore made the situation incredibly tense. And it wasn't just the Dutch settlers in Virginia that were angry about this. Almost the entire colony of Virginia had done better when they were allowed to trade with the Dutch. Governor Berkeley was absolutely terrified that the people would revolt and join the Dutch against the British. Others in Virginia's upper class were equally afraid of this. So, there was a small rebellion in that Dutch part of Virginia, but it didn't amount to much, and the other small rebellion that year was caused by rumors about the taxes being paid to buy back the area of Virginia from those 2 guys. The rumors going around stated that the tax money for this wasn't actually being used to buy Virginia back. Instead, the rumors said that it was going directly into the bank accounts of a few rich men who were using the people to make themselves richer. Maybe this was true, maybe not. But what's for certain was that when these new high taxes were announced for the year to buy that area of Virginia back, the people thought that this was going towards the upper class just to make them richer. So there was this second small rebellion in one area of Virginia, and it was promptly squashed by the governor. One of the reasons it failed was that they didn't have a leader to really take them over the edge from a small rebellion to a full-on rebellion that could spread from place to place. So the poor, angry people waited and waited. They waited until one day a leader did come to them. His name was Nathaniel Bacon. Nathaniel Bacon had come to Virginia from England, where his family was pretty well off. His family was doing well in the colonies, too. In fact, his cousin, also named Nathaniel Bacon, was a member of the Virginia Assembly, And we all know how well those guys did financially. Nathaniel Bacon was 29 years old. He had a head full of black hair and was on the thinner side. He had a reputation as a smart man who was thoughtful and logical, but his attitude could turn sour at a moment's notice. He was highly persuasive, especially any time it came to public speaking. He was also, as we'll find out, an incredibly talented military leader. When he came to Virginia in 1674, he was welcomed with open arms by Governor Berkeley. Bacon was related to Governor Berkeley's wife through a somewhat complicated marriage situation. And seeing as his cousin, the other Nathaniel Bacon, was already a favorite of Governor Berkeley and served in the assembly, this Nathaniel Bacon, the one who would become the rebel leader, was picked by Governor Berkeley himself to sit as a member of the assembly on the governor's council. As we discussed in a previous episode, Governor Berkeley owned land, tons of it, so much that he kind of owned the beaver trade in Virginia. The beaver trade was basically taking beaver skins and making fancy hats and coats out of them. It was all the rage in Europe, and people paid top dollar for it. People in the American colonies would either own land where beavers could be found, or they rented land where beavers could be found. And Governor Berkeley had some sweet money pouring in from rent that people paid to hunt beavers on his land. Bacon was one of those people. He worked for a man who rented land from Governor Berkeley. Both Bacon and the other man owed Berkeley a certain amount of beaver skins each year. This was something around 800 pounds of beaver skins per year. That's a lot of beavers. This was on top of the beavers Bacon had to kill to make his own money from selling them. Even though Bacon had to give money, or beavers, to Governor Berkeley, this didn't cause a lot of problems between them. The problem started when Bacon realized he didn't like the incompetent government officials. He didn't like the injustices he saw. He didn't like the high taxes, and he didn't like that people didn't really have a voice in their government, even though he was part of that government. Bacon wasn't one to keep these dislikes to himself. He voiced them, and soon Governor Berkeley became less and less happy with his distant relative. Tensions simmered for a while, and surprisingly, Berkeley allowed Bacon to remain in the assembly without retaliation for his criticisms. After all, Berkeley was still Mr. Hero, Mr. Good Guy. The things to come had not yet changed him. That's all for today. Thanks for tuning in. Join us next week when we discuss how the tensions did explode into a war between the two men and the incident that ignited it all. Subscribe so you don't miss the next episode and comment your thoughts on this episode below. See you next time on Why Wars Happened.